Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the Muslim Next Door podcast, and I am your host, Shifa. So if you're new here, welcome. I hope you stick around and stay and enjoy this podcast. And if you're returning from previous episodes, welcome back. I guess I want to start this off with a little life update. I didn't post an episode last week, and that's because I had surgery. So I had surgery past Wednesday, and so I was kind of loopy and out of it for a couple days, and I thought by Saturday or Sunday I should be good enough to get up and record an episode and it should be fine. I can edit it, won't be too bad, but you know, I was very loopy. It took a bit longer for me to kind of get my energy back, but alhamdulillah, I'm doing a lot better, and still can't sit up properly, still can't move as comfortably as I would like to, but it's all good. It wasn't like a last minute surgery, it was something that was planned, and I should have probably recorded the podcast, you know, ahead of time, you know, set it up so it would release on Monday, but honestly, it was just, I don't know, not laziness, but more, I was just so busy. The Tuesday before my surgery, I even took off the afternoon from work because I had to go get my driver's license, which is another update. I have my full license, which means I can drive on the highway now as well. Long process, and it took a while to get my license, but you know, we're there, we've got it. And then I was busy with a lot of other things, you know, wedding planning for my sister's wedding and so many other things going on. So I just didn't find that time to kind of sit down, have a breather. It was just kind of go, go, go. So I was trying to get a lot of things done that I had put off before I went in for my surgery, especially for work. I had to get a lot of things, you know, cleared up before I was off because I was kind of off for 3.5 days, which is a lot considering the position that I hold in the company I work with. And so like a lot of the stuff I do is like scheduling and planning and just making sure things are done and are in order. So I just had to like prepare everything for that week and make sure it was done, you know, by Tuesday morning, because I was off from Tuesday afternoon until Friday. So that was a lot of fun, and I even like overworked, so I was working after I was done at 4:30, which is when I usually finish work, but it was fine, and I was able to make it back to work on Monday, and that's only because I work from home. So I guess that's a perk of working from home. You know, I've talked about before how I kind of like struggle with it a bit. You know, I don't know if I enjoy it or not. And in this circumstance, I liked it because I was able to go back to work, didn't have to miss a lot of days, just because I am working from home, right? So I just kind of laid in bed, opened up my laptop, put it beside me, put my AirPod in, and was just like answering phone calls when it needed to be. And everyone at work knew that I was still like, that I was just like out of surgery and everything. So everyone took it a little bit easier on me. It wasn't busy, thankfully. But the 3 days that I did take off, 3.5 days I did take off, were super busy. And unfortunately for my manager, he had to take on all my work. And a lot of the work didn't get done. And he was kind of like, when I came back on Monday, he's like, I don't know how you do it. Like, there is so much. He's like, there's a lot I couldn't even get to. And I felt bad for him because on top of everything he had to do, he had to take on my work. But, you know, there's not much I could do. That's life. But yeah, so I'm back at it. I'm moving around, going out. I was just kind of stuck in the house again for like 3-4 days. Drove me crazy. If anyone knows me, I'm not a homebody. I don't like sitting at home, and like quarantine was so bad because of that. And then just like I broke my foot, so I was even more stuck at home. And then that got better, and I was like all good for 2-3 weeks, and then I had the surgery. So it's like it's just been constantly kind of like being forced to sit at home. But alhamdulillah, you know, it's okay. I'm okay. I can handle it. I think I've gotten used to it at this point. You know, we're like 9 months into, I don't even know at this point, I've lost track of time, but we're many, many, many months into being stuck at home. So I think I've become more accepting of the fact that, you know, I'm stuck at home. But other than that, the last time you guys were, you know, listening in, I had talked about an event that I was doing for an organization I was a part of for Lebanon. You know, we were commemorating the 77th Independence Day, and that event went incredibly amazing, and it was so fun, and it was so, you know, beautiful, and it was such a historic moment. You know, we went and raised the flag in front of City Hall in Niagara Falls, which is the first time in history, which was so cool to be a part of and, you know, made me proud to be both Canadian and Lebanese. And then in the evening, you know, we lit up Niagara Falls with the colors of the Lebanese flag, which was absolutely beautiful. And I met such amazing human beings on that trip and made really great connections. And, you know, it was a really awesome trip, and it was an awesome project to work on. And it's kind of opened a lot more doors for me to continue in that aspect of my life. You know, working in this with this organization has been really great, and it's something that I've always wanted to do. And so being able to help people has been really cool. You know, we were sending diesel to families in need in Lebanon for the winter that's coming, because they need that for, you know, heating up their homes. And so it is a bit pricey for people who, you know, can't afford it, and the economic crisis in Lebanon has been really, really bad. And so for us to be able to do that and be able to send diesel to those who need it has just been so beautiful and amazing. And so we've been working on that. You know, we have a lot of other projects we're working on as well for here in Canada. And the group of people I work with are really amazing people, and they're all very selfless people. And so it's really cool to, you know, surround yourself with people like that. It's important to surround yourself with people like that, because it makes you want to be better and to help out even more. So it's been a really great thing to be a part of, especially in a time where it can be easy to feel a little helpless and a little useless, you know, in a sense. You know, I thankfully, alhamdulillah, I have a roof over my head, I have clothes on my body, food on the table, and I'm incredibly blessed, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. But, you know, there's people that aren't so lucky. And so to see family and friends and people I know from back home, and just anyone really from back home, is struggling just breaks my heart. Because, you know, being Lebanese and being raised in a Western country away from there, it's hard. And considering the fact that, you know, I didn't go back to Lebanon and visit a lot, unfortunately, we just weren't able to. I've gone maybe 4 or 5 times, and, you know, 4 of the 5 whatever times was when I was really young, and I barely remember them. And the last trip I do remember was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I went with my mom and my brother, and I fell in love with the country, and I fell in love with the people, and it felt right to be there, you know, be surrounded with family there, because I don't really have family here. The closest I think I've mentioned is in Florida. So it was such an incredible trip, and I had so much fun, you know, and it was just for a month, but I did not want to leave. And so just knowing that they're struggling back there, and it's such a beautiful country, and what's happened to it in the last couple of years is just incredibly disheartening and horrible. And so being able to help them and, you know, stay connected to them in a way has been really good. And just it's this whole feeling of diaspora and this whole feeling of guilt that kind of sometimes settles in with being someone who's being raised away from the country, you know, that your parents are from or where you're from. You know, it can accumulate, and it can get really hard, and you can start to feel helpless in moments like this and in times like this. So it's great that it's a good thing to have something that you can kind of work towards to feel like you're doing something good in the world. And it makes my heart happy just to, you know, when they tell me like, oh, we were able to deliver it to these families and they were incredibly happy. And, you know, we had a project earlier in the year with delivering pillows and blankets to senior homes and to orphanages. So that was absolutely incredible, because we saw the photos of people, you know, and the people who work at these places, and the way they were just smiling and the way they were so happy that, you know, there was someone looking out for them. Because, you know, the government in Lebanon, if you know anything of what's going on, is not the greatest. You know, they've put the Lebanese people in a position that is very unfortunate and incredibly unfortunate. So, I mean, finding ways to help has been good, and I think we have to look out for each other. And I've talked about this mentality before of people, you know, looking out for themselves and not worrying about other people, and I think that's like the root of why so many bad things are happening in the world, is because a lot of people don't have this, you know, selflessness in a way that they don't care about people around them. You know, it's just about themselves, and they live in this bubble, and they don't realize that there are other people around them that have it far worse than them. And, you know, when you're in a position that you can help other people, it baffles me when you don't help people when you can. You know, like, you have the means, you have the money, you have the ability, you have the resources to do it. Why not do it? You know, why you have to be so self-absorbed and not care about other people? And I understand sometimes you have to put yourself first. I'm not saying to 100% give yourself to other people. You know, that's impossible. You know, I have to take care of myself at times too. But, you know, you can dedicate a small percentage of your life to helping other people if you have the resources for it. And I'm in no way mean to guilt anyone or make anyone feel bad if they're not able to. You know, obviously, if you don't have the money for it, or the time for it, or the ability or resources, like, you know, there's not much you can do. But if you do have it, you should feel guilty that you're not doing something more. You should, because there's so many people who need the help. And this whole thing of, oh, they can get a job, or they're lazy, or whatever, is incredibly stupid. You know, you never know what someone is going through, what other people are going through, what they're dealing with, for you to make such a, like, crappy assumption about them. It's something that just always bugs me, that there's so many rich people in the world, and there's so many people suffering, and they don't really have to, because there's enough to go around to help people. But that's just another conversation, and I could go on for hours about that. But something I really wanted to talk about was about Halima. You know, I was still on social media during my time off, and that was because, like, I was, you know, awake enough to be able to hold my phone and scroll through Instagram, and that's the only thing I could do. There was a lot kind of going on. One thing that I noticed, which kind of, like, it made me really happy to see, is this model that a lot of people know. Her name is Halima. She's a hijabi model. 4 years ago, kind of, like, broke into the scene and made such a huge kind of noise when she came into the industry, in the fashion industry especially. And so, like, it was a very, like, beautiful moment for Muslim hijabis to see someone who wears the hijab in this industry and look so beautiful. But over the years, you know, I slowly kind of was like, it's getting too much. And the way that she was wearing the hijab was a little bit, like, off-putting for me, and I just didn't appreciate the way it was being portrayed in a lot of the shoots she was doing. And so I kind of just stopped following her, and I'm like, not looking up to her. And then this past week, she kind of, like, called out the fashion industry for exactly what I was feeling, you know, and what I guess so many other people were feeling. And she kind of realized was she had lost her hijab, in a sense. Yes, she had it on, but the way she was dressing and the way she was portraying herself was not aligned with what the hijab means. You know, hijab isn't just covering your head, covering your hair. It's so many other things. You know, it's the way you hold yourself in front of other people, and the way you pose, and the way you dress, and the way you act, and the way you treat yourself. And so she had, you know, in this lengthy story, you know, she still has it up on her Instagram. If you go there, she has, like, hijab journey as one of, like, the little highlight stories. And she talks about how, you know, she essentially lost her hijab, and she, you know, slowly became sadder and sadder. And it wasn't until this quarantine where she returned to her mom. And of course, mothers, they know best, and they know you more than you know yourself. And she looked at her daughter and she told her, like, you're not happy, you know. And she kind of, it was like a slap in the face kind of thing, like, wake up, this isn't who you are. And she realized that she was unhappy because of, you know, the way she lost touch with her hijab and what it meant to her. And she kind of was, like, calling herself out and calling out all these big names in the industry who didn't respect her. Not respect her in the hijab, but, you know, they did something and she agreed with it, and so they thought it was okay, but it wasn't. And she realizes that now, you know, that was her mistake, is allowing them to be able to do these things, and having, you know, a person to kind of do it with, it okayed it for them, you know. And these brands were thinking it was okay because we have a hijabi model who's agreeing to it and saying yes. And so, like, she was doing these shoots, and, like, there was a shoot where she wore jeans as a hijab on her head, which is kind of weird, and that's not what the hijab is. And then she called out, you know, a bunch of other people, and she brought up the fact that Rihanna let her wear the hijab that she brought with her on set, which I think was so beautiful. And she, like, posted about that, and Rihanna reshared it and everything. And so, like, that was kind of a beautiful thing to see, you know. And she gave flowers to the people that deserved it, and she called out the people who deserved it, and herself included in that. And so it was really cool to see that, and it was beautiful to see that on such a huge platform, because, you know, she has a lot to lose, really, if you look at it. You know, her job is to be a model, and when you're in the fashion industry and you're calling out these big names and pointing out all these things, you know, people are gonna, you know, you're not gonna get the jobs you want anymore. And so for her, it was more like, I'm done with the industry, you can keep your photo shoots and you can keep all the jobs you want to give me, because I'm going to do what makes me happy, and what makes me happy is putting my hijab first, which was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, made me so proud of the fact that, you know, we have someone like her in the Muslim community, because it does get hard, you know, when you're in such a large platform with so many people following you and you lose yourself. It's kind of hard to come back from that, and a lot of the times people are embarrassed, and so they don't want to say anything, or they're ashamed, so they don't want to say anything. And so it was really beautiful to see, you know, someone with such a huge following do that, because it's very encouraging to younger women who follow her that wear the hijab, or any woman that follow her that wear the hijab or plan to wear the hijab, especially people who enjoy this industry, you know. And it changes, you know, people's idea of this industry, and it will change people's ideas that are in this industry. And I hope that they can learn from this and slowly learn and understand that there are better ways to go about this. It's like, okay, if we are going to include the hijab, how can we respect a hijabi model? You know, so Halima stepped down from her position as a model, and she wants to focus more on herself and on other projects, and it's really cool to see that, you know. And I hope that she, you know, continues this way, and she continues, you know, putting her religion first and her hijab first, because it's, in the end of the day, Din over Dunya, right? And she even has that in the caption of her Instagram bio, which I think is really cool. And so for her to kind of point these things out about herself and point out things that are wrong, you know, and a lot of people didn't agree with her, you know, a lot of people could have, you know, bashed her and hated her, and she could have, you know, like, been technically canceled, but she really, if you want to look at it, she canceled herself, you know. And so she kind of, it was beautiful the way she did it too. It was respectful. It wasn't like she was like, you know, screaming up and down, but she kind of was like, listen, this is my story and this is how I'm gonna tell it, and whether you accept it or not is up to you, but I have a following that I owe the truth to, and I have young girls who follow me who I owe the truth to, and this is my truth, and whether you accept it or not is on you. And, you know, she did her part, which I found absolutely incredible. And I'm like, yes, you go, girl. This is amazing. And it makes me so happy. But yeah, so like, I think, and I've said this before, you know, everyone's journey is different. And, you know, her journey is incredibly different than mine. And so, and my journey is incredibly different than the next person, you know. But like, I feel like when you see people in these platforms and in these positions, you know, choosing their deen, it really does affect younger girls. Like, oh yes, I can do the same thing, I can choose my deen over this dunya, you know. It's not that hard. Like, if someone like Halima can give up all these fancy parties and beautiful magazine covers and this money and everything, you know, for her religion, like, then who am I to say I can't do the same thing, you know? Like, she gave up a lot. She gave up her job for her religion. So, like, why can't I give up this one little thing for my hijab? And that's how I kind of see it. And in the end of the day, like I said, everyone has their own journey, and everyone has to make their own decisions for themselves. And you can't judge other people for their decisions, and you can't judge other people for the way they go about their hijab journey. But I just wanted to talk about hers because I thought it was incredibly beautiful that she, you know, was putting her religion over everything else. You know, she was putting herself and her happiness before everything else, you know. And she says it, she says, I was unhappy when I was in this industry, and when the last time she remembers she was happy was when she was working with the UN, which, you know, she was doing amazing work, and it was beautiful to see her, you know, call that out and talk about it and, you know, make a loud noise in this industry and in social media about it, you know. And so many people watched it, and so many people were tuned into it, and she's still posting stuff and she's still going on about it, and it's incredibly amazing, and I'm super proud of that. And I hope that for the young girls that do follow her, they can learn from her and, you know, hopefully choose to wear the hijab or choose to continue wearing the hijab or, you know, choose to better themselves with wearing the hijab. Because, you know, we're all continuing to grow and we're all learning and we're all still, you know, learning to be better. We're not perfect and we never will be perfect. But, you know, as long as we continue to work on ourselves and continue to, you know, better ourselves, I think that's all that really matters in the end of the day. So something else I wanted to talk about was that the Forbes 30 Under 30 list came out, and in that list there were a couple of Muslims, and I just kind of wanted to talk about them and their work and just how amazing this is. So the first person is Batuli Kamara. She actually plays basketball and she plays professionally in Spain. And she founded the Women and Kids Empowerment nonprofit, which is educating and equipping and empowering young girls and women through sports and social entrepreneurship and education. And the thing they had listed was that that the organization that she had created is working to launch one of the first all-girls boarding schools in West Africa, which is super cool and super amazing. And it's just beautiful seeing someone like her who's doing amazing work being appreciated for that. The next person is Shams Sharania. Sorry, I probably pronounced that wrong, but he's a reporter for The Athletic and Stadium, and so he breaks news on a lot of important sports stuff. So if you're not a huge sports person, you might not have heard of him, but he, you know, reports on major signings that happen and trades, and so he's, I guess, very well known in his field, and he's been doing amazing work. Next person is Adam Wahid. He's a Instagrammer / director, and he has a huge following on Instagram and on TikTok, but recently he had written, produced, and starred in a short film called Tribes, which was accepted into the Cannes Film Festival, which is super amazing, so, like, props to him. The next person is Nayul Louis Tong. I apologize for probably mispronouncing that wrong, but he's the co-founder of the Bear Life Review, which is a magazine that features the work of immigrant and refugee authors, which is so amazing and so awesome. And him being an immigrant himself, so it's just super cool, and the work that he does with that is super, super amazing. Next person, a lot of people may have heard of him, Rami Youssef. Actor and now has his own TV show called Rami on Hulu, which is super cool, and he won a Golden Globe for it and it won a Peabody Award, and so it's been getting its flowers and it's been renewed now for its third season, which is pretty cool. I don't agree with everything he does in his show, but it's cool to see a Muslim perspective, and you know, it's kind of, the show's about a first generation American Muslim, so you know, this is his story, and it's really amazing that he has the platform for it and that he's being, you know, appreciated for it and given his flowers. So this is awesome. The next person is someone who I'm super duper excited about, and like, just, it makes me happy seeing her name and seeing her photo, but it's Hafsa Faiza. So she is a niqabi Muslim woman, and she's a New York Times bestselling author, and she's the first niqabi author to ever make it on the New York Times bestseller list, which is so incredibly amazing. So her book is a fantasy novel called We Hunt the Flame, and she also is the founder of Icy Designs, which creates websites for authors, and they sell other things among that on the site. From candles and notebooks and that kind of thing, which is really cool. So it was so cool seeing a niqabi woman, and just like, so amazing, makes me happy. And the last person is Amir El Khattatba. I'm so bad at this, but he's the founder of Muslim, and he's actually Amani's brother. I talked about her on a previous podcast. She was arrested for being Muslim, but yeah, so he's the founder of Muslim, and it's a news publication for younger Muslims that's on Instagram, and you know, they've done a lot of amazing work with that publication, and so it's pretty cool. And he received a Knight Foundation grant this year, which is really amazing. So amazing work. I mean, their family is making hardworking Muslims. So this is amazing. So I just kind of want to talk about that because it's cool to see the work that they're doing, and to see that they're being appreciated on a platform that is that big, and it is, you know, well known in the industry, and well known, you know, in America and in Canada. And Forbes is a very prestigious, you know, publication, and everyone really like respects Forbes. So it's really cool to see their names and see their faces, you know, splattered across Forbes and being listed under that. And it's a huge honor for people to kind of be in Forbes. And so to see, you know, a handful of Muslims be listed under there is absolutely amazing. And it just, and I want to talk about this too, because it brings up the point that a lot of people kind of associate your religion with the fact that you not being able to achieve your dream or achieve, you know, doing amazing work. But I feel like it pushes you to do amazing work. And and so they're the seven people that I just listed, they're Muslim and they're accomplishing, you know, such amazing things, and they're doing such amazing work, and you know, in their own talents and their own fields. And so it's really cool to see that, and it's just a reminder that if they can do it, you can do it too. And it's awesome having role models like that and people like that to kind of look up to, because when I was younger, there weren't that many people who, whether it was looked like me or believed in the same things like me, achieving things like this. And if there were, they were very quiet about it. You know, there was a lot of Muslims that did really amazing things, but it was more of a silent in the background kind of thing. You know, no one would kind of claim they were Muslim. And so to see these people proudly announce they're Muslim and proudly, you know, display that they're Muslim is really cool and amazing. And so like there's even like Rami Yusuf, who's creating even a bigger platform with the platform he's created for himself. He's creating another platform, you know, a production company, you know, that will feature these groups that are underrepresented in this industry. And so it's cool, you know, he created the platform for himself and he's opening it up to other people. And I feel like, you know, when I was younger and growing up, we didn't have that, and we didn't have someone kind of paving the way for us. You know, there was just like the two or three token Muslims that everyone knew, but now we're seeing this influx of Muslims in the media, and we're doing amazing work and opening different doors for different people. And so it's cool that, you know, this younger generation that's coming is going to have, you know, people to really look up to, especially growing up in the West, because we never used to see Muslims, you know, in Western media. So it's cool to kind of start seeing that and to see, you know, that there are people who look like us in Western countries that are able to do such amazing work and do such amazing things. So seeing, you know, Muslims in Western media being appreciated and being, you know, put on display like this is really cool, because now, you know, this younger generation that's coming has someone to look up to, and they can kind of see someone who looks like them and believes like them in the industry and making it in the industry and doing amazing work. And hopefully they don't stray off their path of Islam, and I hope they're so close to religion, just because, you know, it saddens me when I see people lose their religion. And a lot of times with this industry, you know, that can happen. And you know, like I was talking about Halima, she said she lost herself in this industry, and why she was stepping back was because she couldn't control a lot of aspects in the industry that affected her religion. And so she decided the best decision for her was to step back and, you know, break her contract with IMG and, you know, step away. And that was right for her, and it was kind of what was the right decision for her. And so there needs to be a balance too. So I just pray that, you know, these people that I listed and other Muslims who are in the industry, who are breaking into the industry and doing this kind of work, don't stray off their path and remember their roots and remember, you know, their religion, because at the end of the day, they're portraying themselves as these Muslims. So I hope they're able to, you know, continue being Muslims and being good Muslims and, you know, continue to work on that, as well as, you know, achieving their dreams too. So, you know, that's just something I wanted to bring up and talk about, because it's worth celebrating and it's good to celebrate. And I've talked about it before, you know, in a previous episode, you know, we need to celebrate our wins. So, you know, these seven people, we should celebrate them and celebrate all their accomplishments. And it's amazing to see that. But other than that, something else I wanted to kind of discuss is the general direction I want to take this podcast. I feel like sometimes I'm reporting things, sometimes I'm kind of sharing personal things, and I don't know what people are enjoying more. If you're enjoying the kind of anecdotes and the little stories about my life and growing up Muslim in the West, or if you're enjoying listening to my take on certain topics in the community and in the Muslim community, I just feel like sometimes I sit down to do the podcast and I'm not sure what I want to talk about or which direction I want to take the episode in. or if you guys are enjoying all of it. Like, if you want me to continue, you know, discussing my opinion on topics and also discussing stories in my life and just little relatable things you might be able to relate to. And so I just kind of wanted to see what you guys thought. Like, send me a DM on the Muslim Next Door podcast Instagram and tell me what you think and what you want me to talk about. Is there anything you want me to discuss? If there's any kind of topic you want me to discuss, anything you want me to look into, anything you want to get my opinion on or, you know, my take on, let me know, because sometimes I just kind of sit down and I start rambling for a good hour and then I just delete it because I'm like, I don't think this is what people want to hear. So let me know. I want to know what the people want to hear. And so I guess this is my way of telling you I'm ending the podcast. So before I go, I just want you guys to know that I appreciate every person who listens, and, you know, I appreciate all the feedback I get back on this podcast, and I think it's so amazing. And if you are listening, and if you could, you know, leave a like or a download or a review or anything that could help this podcast, and share it with your friends and your families if you enjoyed it. And follow me at the Muslim Next Door podcast Instagram. I will have that in the info as always. And yeah, I mean, I think I've enjoyed this episode. I am glad to be back. Hopefully I will stay again. And hopefully I'll get better at managing my time and pre-recording episodes when I see fit. So I don't miss another week. But yeah, so this has been a Muslim Next Door podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay 6 feet apart, and don't miss your prayers. Until next week.